Welcome all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam 4.14.4 onwards. I would like to add brief introduction of Prabhuji. His Grace Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji came into Krishna consciousness in the year 2003, specifically when he was in the final year of his mechanical engineering in Pune. What attracted him in Krishna consciousness was its philosophy. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there are four kinds of people who, one of them is who is inquisitive to know about the truth. And Prabhuji falls in this category. He also had a lot of questions when he came to Krishna consciousness movement, and the best part is he found the answers to be very deep, based on logic. And this info, in the words of Sukumar Prabhuji, this Krishna consciousness philosophy is very practical and can be applied by anyone from any walk of life. He is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. As a sannyasi, he has been serving Sri Sri Radha Madan Gopal in Nasik, India for many years. He is sincerely serving Srila Prabhupada's mission by preaching in various forms, be it Gita Amrit class or at his local temple or book distribution or through 5-minute YouTube videos on day-to-day lessons from Bhagavad Gita. Thank you for taking your time, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for joining, Prabhuji. Dhandavad Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for taking your valuable time and giving us this preaching this morning.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Mataji. Am I audible, Mataji? Can all hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much. So we'll start for the today's session, Srimad Bhagavatam class. The shloka given is from 4th canto, 14th chapter, 4th shloka.
Sa aruda nripasthana unnato ashta vibhutibhi avamena mahabhagan stabdha sambhavitasvata.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. When the king ascended to the throne...
Your camera is not on.
Somehow... Yes, Mother, you'll try it out.
Yeah. Because you did before, but now it's not.
Is it okay, Mataji? Can everybody see?
Oh, no. Just click on camera.
Yes, Mataji, you've done it. Has it come, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, now we can see you.
Okay, Mataji, thank you. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. When the king ascended to the throne, he became all-powerful with 8 kind of opulences. Consequently, he became proud. By virtue of his false prestige, he considered himself to be greater than anyone. Thus he began to insult great personalities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Ashta Vibhutibhi, meaning by 8 opulences, is very important. The king is supposed to possess 8 kind of opulences. By dint of mystic yoga practices, king generally acquired these 8 opulences. These kings were called Rajarishis, kings who were also great sages. By practicing mystic yoga, a Rajarishi could become smaller than the smallest, greater than the greatest, and could get whatever he desired. A Rajarishi could also create a kingdom, bring everyone under his control, and rule everyone. These were some of the opulences of a king. King Vena, however, was not practiced in yoga, but he became very proud of his royal position, nonetheless, because he was not very considerate. He began to misuse his power and insult great personalities. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha
Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitamtam Sujivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krapasandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Natanamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So welcome all devotees for our morning session. I am grateful to all the devotees here for allowing me to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. Am I audible, Mataji? Is it okay? Hare Krishna?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, Mataji, thank you. this is one of the very wonderful groups that I have come across. And all devotees are so creative, and constantly something or else is going on, all devotional activities for various groups of devotees, may they be small children to elders, wonderful dramas, and so much is happening on this group. So I'm really grateful to all the devotees, Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, for creating such a wonderful facility for devotional service online. And so many wonderful speakers were arranged in last few days with such vast knowledge has come across, and I felt so small when I was hearing to some of the wonderful speakers, and at the same time I was also feeling proud that I'm connected to the Gaudiya Parampara. So once again I thank all the devotees of this wonderful group. So let's have a quick recap of what has happened till this event. In chapter 12 we all saw that Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Vaikuntha. Chapter 13, we see that Vidura then starts in the onset of the chapter 13, Vidura inquires about Prachetas. And then Maitreya Rishi describes about the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. Then he goes on to say that Utkala, who is the senior son of Maharaj Dhruva, he is a pure devotee. He has no interest in ruling the kingdom, and hence the kingdom is handed over to his another brother, Vatsara. And after Vatsara, the seventh king is Maharaj Anga. And Maitreya Rishi tells that the seventh king, Maharaj Anga, he leaves his home disgusted due to his son Vena, who had no good qualities at all. And when Vidura hears that Maharaj Anga, who comes in the line of Dhruva Maharaj, who is pure devotee, and Maharaj Anga himself was such a qualified and a saintly king, how can he have a son who has no good qualities at all? So in the 13th chapter, 21st shloka, Vaitreya, Vidurji is to Maitreya saying that, he's making a question, how could a saintly king, Shilanidhi means he has so many saintly qualities. He is also a sadhu, Brahmanasya means he is lover of Brahmana. He is Mahatmana is a great soul. And how could such a Mahatmana have a Dushta Praja? Praja here means Prakrishta Rupena Ja, means Janma. So Praja also indicates to the citizens, and also Praja is used for son. So he is asking Dushta Praja, how could a saintly king have such a Dushta or a bad son who has no good qualities? And then Maitreya speaks, starts speaking about the birth of Vena and his coronation as a king. So in today's talk, we'll discuss three points as to why did King Anga, who was such a pious king, get a cruel son like Vena. Second point we would discuss is how the Lord plans for the deliverance of his devotees. And third and brief point we'll be discussing is parenthood is not just about the experience of being a parent, it is about creating a legacy. So these are the three topics for today's discussion. So in this 4.8.1-5, which is the chapter where the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj starts, I purposefully am taking back just to make the point more clearer. So from Shloka 1 to Shloka 5, Sukadeva Goswami introduces the lineage of Adharma. And Adharma is the son of Lord Brahma. And in only 4 shlokas, he is giving the brief lineage of Adharma. So Adharma, the son of Brahma, is married to Mrisha. Mrisha is falsity. And they have 2 sons, 1 son and 1 daughter. And this whole lineage is called unnatural combination due to the simple reason that there is marriage between brothers and sisters. And the fifth in this lineage comes as Mrityu, that is death, and Bhiti, that is fear. These both are siblings and they get married and one more combination comes. So there, Sukadeva Goswami says that this unnatural combination of family life is the cause of destruction. Destruction is Pratisarga. Sarga is creation and Pratisarga is destruction. So the daughter of this Mrityu is Sunita, who becomes later on becomes the wife of Maharaj Anga. So we see that the birth of this queen Sunita is in itself having a lot of impurities in her birth. And hence, naturally equivalent qualities are seen in her. The story of Sunita is given in Padma Puran. Her background will be more clear when we understand the whole story. I'll narrate the story in brief. This comes in Padma Puran. One day, this Sunita, who is the daughter of Mrityu, that is death, she goes to a forest with her friends. And in that forest, they see that a Gandharva Putra, whose name is Shushanka, he is practicing tapasya for Mata Saraswati so that he could become an expert singer, devotional singer. When Sunita and her friends see that this person is practicing some kind of austerity for singing, and then they purposefully start troubling him. They try to bring some obstacles in his singing practice. And eventually he becomes the Sushanka. He tells them that please go away. I am doing my daily practices here. So please kindly don't disturb me. You have a lot of space there. You can play and do your activities. But Sunita and her friends, they don't listen to him. And they continuously keep troubling him. And this is not a day's affair. Every day Sunita and her friends, they come and they keep troubling this Sushanka. And one day, as usual, Sushanka says that, please allow me to practice my sadhana and please you can go somewhere and play. So this day what happens, this Sunita, she becomes so wild that in her disturbed state of mind, she slaps Sushanka. And in that rage of anger, she introduces herself that, do you know who am I? She says, I am the daughter of the killer of the whole world. Daughter of killer means, I am the daughter of Mrityu. The point here to be noted is, when a person speaks something about himself, that indicates his mindset. When Sunita chose to introduce herself, how did she choose to introduce? She chose that she is feeling proud that, do you know who am I? I am the daughter of the killer of the three worlds, Mrityu. That is my introduction. That is my identity. So she is showing her qualities through her speech. Her mindset is shown there. And when she comes home, she tells her father, Mrityu, that this is what has happened in the whole day. And to amazement, Mrityu says nothing about this event. He just keeps mum.
And the next day again, Sunita goes with her friends and they play there, and the same thing happens. They again slap this Sushankar, and now Sushankar couldn't handle anything, and in the rage of anger, Sushankar curses Sunita that you will have a child who will be harsh in his behavior and who will be offender of Lord Hari and the Brahmanas. So this is what Sushankar curses Sunita. And mind it, that even after being cursed, she is not able to understand the gravity of the situation. She becomes more angry, leaves the place, and goes and tells to her father what has happened. And now the father, who hasn't spoken anything or hasn't corrected his daughter till now, now he comes to understand the gravity of the situation. And then he chastises Sunita and says that, please understand that you have acted wrongly, and now you will have to pay for your misbehavior. So the first duty of any parent is that make children responsible for their action. Make them fully aware that they will be held for any action, may it be good or may it be bad. They have to pay, they have to undergo whatever comes. For example, we have seen that there is so-called freedom that is given to the youth today. But that freedom comes with a cost. And what is that cost the society is paying? We have seen that there is rise in teenage pregnancy. Freedom is there, it's good. But the point is the youth made capable of handling the freedom? Freedom in itself is good, because the Shastra called freedom as Swatantrata Ratna. It is a Ratna, it is a gem. But are they able to handle that gem properly, the so-called freedom they have been given? No, that is why Prabhupada in every purport is making one point, that training is compulsory, training is must. And that training in what? To make them a responsible human being, a responsible person who takes every call of his action based that he has an understanding that yes, I will be responsible and I have to pay for it. Now, on the other side, the story covers the other half, that Maharaj Anga, who is the son of Atri Rishi. The same story, but other part, the other character is taken. Maharaj Anga, one day he goes to Swargaloka, and there he sees Lord Indra sporting with the heavenly ladies there. And when he sees that incident, he feels that, oh, I also should have a son who has all these facilities for enjoying the material opulence. Now the point to note here is, Anga's desire is not to have a saintly son. His desire is to have a son who can enjoy all material opulences. And with this desire in mind, Maharaj Anga comes back home and asks his father that I have such a desire to have a son who is as royal as King Indra. So what should I do to get a son like this? And there Atri Rishi, he tells that you should perform tapasya and gain the favor of Lord Krishna. So he goes to Meru Parvat, and in Meru Parvat, which is surrounded by gold and gems, he sees all this great opulence, the heavenly damsels, they are singing, some are chanting mantras. But in all this, he is completely focused with one desire, that I have to have a son who is glorious and having opulences like Indra. So he chooses one cave, and then he performs intense tapasya there for a long time. And after this intense tapasya, he becomes weak. But in spite of his weakness, he becomes more effulgent. And that is the sign of real tapasya. Real tapasya means you may become weak or thin and lean, but the effulgence in your body grows, and that is the sign that yes, tapasya is moving in the right direction. And when his tapasya is completed, Lord Hari, Lord Vishnu comes before him, and then he says, yes, please ask for a benediction. Now the point to be understood here is that Maharaj Anga is descendant of Dhruva Maharaj, who is pure devotee. Dhruva Maharaj also had darshan of Lord Hari, Lord Vishnu. But when Dhruva, who had such an intense burning desire, material desire, when he sees Lord Vishnu, what is he saying? काचन विचिन्वन अपि दिव्यरत्नम स्वामिन कृतार्थोऽस्मि वरं नयेच. आई एम नॉट एट ऑल इंटरेस्टेड इन एनी मटेरियल बेनेडिक्शन माय लॉर्ड. प्लीज टेक मी अलॉन्ग विद यू बैक टू वैकुंठ लोक. And exactly on the contrary, here we see that Maharaj Anga has performed such intense tapasya. Please understand, having darshan of Lord Vishnu is the rarest of all things according to Srimad Bhagavatam. The rarest of all things. To please Lord Vishnu is the last thing in tapasya. And here is Maharaj Anga who has performed intense tapasya. Lord Hari is standing before him and he is asking two benedictions. First benediction he is asking is that please have mercy on me and give me real knowledge, the knowledge which can deliver me from material existence. And my Lord, also I have one more desire. If you feel so, please grant this benediction also, that let me have a son like Indra. Now these two desires are exactly contradictory. One is completely spiritual, one is completely material. And the Lord, he says, okay, I'll fulfill your desires, and he leaves. On the other side, now the father of Sunita, he goes searching for a husband for his daughter. He goes to Indra and requests Indra to marry his daughter Sunita. But Indra declines, saying that, I know your daughter is highly qualified, but also on the other side, she is cursed by this Gandharva, and so I won't be able to marry her because she is going to have a son who will be an offender to Vishnu and Brahmanas. And then he gives an example there, just like one drop of alcohol spoils the whole water pot, similarly one foolish son can spoil the name of the entire family. And then Indra drops the proposal. And then Mrityu, who is feeling so bad, that he comes back and tells Sunita that please, you have to understand the gravity of the situation. You will have to change your childish nature, your improper behavior. And my suggestion is, if you want to change your association, please associate with the sadhus. Why sadhus? Because they are so pure, by the power of their purity, they can even change the impure mind of any living entity. And then he gives an example that when gold, which is taken from an ore, is impure, and when it is put in fire, it gets completely purified. Similarly is the association of sadhus. Their intense association is like the fire which purifies any person of its of his impurities. When Sunita understands the gravity of the situation, that nobody is ready to marry her, then she goes to forest for performing tapasya. And she performs tapasya for some days, and what happens is that her friends, they are not able to find Sunita, so they come searching for her and they see that she is performing tapasya. Then they ask why she is performing tapasya. Then Sunita tells the whole story, the whole event that has happened. And then the friends say, oh, it's so sad that you have gone through such turmoil in your life. Now, having good friends is such good importance. Now, what the friend suggests to Sunita is, they tell that, okay, you want to have a husband in your life, okay? Now, the friend suggests that try to attract a person by hook or crook. And the example that the friends give is, even Yudhishthir Maharaj, he spoke lie to kill his own guru. So to achieve a husband by hook or crook is not a problem. And they gave her some mantras by which they can attract, by which Sunita can attract a handsome person. And one day when Sunita and her friends, they are roaming in the forest of Indra, and then there they come and see that there is Maharaj Anga who is performing tapasya there on the bank of Mandakini Ganga. And when they see this, they come and ask to Ramba, who is one of the heavenly apsaras, that who is this person who is performing such tapasya here. Then Ramba tells that he is the son of Atri Rishi, and you know, he has got a benediction to have a son like Indra, which is given by Lord Hari. And now he is performing tapasya for getting a suitable wife. And then Ramba says, he is the right match for you. And then we see that in every movie, and immediately when the heroine wants to impress some hero, what she does, she gets a nice makeup, and that is what Ramba does. She makes her externally so beautiful and so charming, that her external beauty, if anybody could see, he will surely consider to make a proposal. And then Sunita goes with all this beautiful makeup, looking extremely gorgeous. And then in the beautiful voice where she starts singing, where Maharaj Anga is performing his tapasya. And we know the usual course of the story is that Maharaj Anga, when he hears the voice, beautiful voice, the nice voice, and when he opens his eyes and sees the beauty of Sunita, immediately he has a desire to marry her. And then he comes, he gets up from his tapasya, and then he goes and meets Sunita, who is accompanied by Ramba there, and he says that, who are you and whose daughter are you? Under whose protection are you? And then she tells the whole thing, and then Ramba, she makes a very clever plan. She says, okay, if you want to marry her, we'll allow you to marry her, but we want you to promise that you will never ever leave her. And this is what Sunita wanted. And then he says, yes, I offer my hand to Sunita, and I will make sure that I will keep her happy on all levels. I will give her all the necessities that are required, and I'll make sure that I never leave her. And then both of them get married. And later, they have a son who is this Vena, King Vena. Now, in the whole incident, the two things are very important to understand. That Sunita never told her husband that she is cursed. And this is the highlight. The external beauty is really charming. This material beauty is indeed charming, because in 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, this is my vibhuti, this is, I am the displayer of this beauty. It is coming from me, I am the source. So it indeed is beautiful. But more beautiful than the external beauty is the factor of loyalty, the factor of transparency in any relationship. And when this transparency, when this loyalty is not there, then the entire relationship is spoiled in no time. And that is why Maharaj Anga could never figure out that how could a person who has performed such intense tapasya for Lord Hari has got a son like this. Now the question is, did Anga become cruel in one day? No. Padma Purana explains that just like in Gita, we have the chapter 16 which speaks about Daivi Asura Sampada, divine and demonic qualities. Any conditioned soul who is in this material world has both demonic qualities and divine qualities, which are latent in him. Latent means they are hidden. Even Vena had both qualities, good and evil in him. How come? Good, because he was born from a yajna. That means he had some qualification, because of which when the paisam came, his mother drank it and then he was born. And how come bad qualities? Bad qualities came from his mother's side, because we saw the whole history. What qualities his mother displayed when she was a young person, and how that affected his life. So that traits were carried in Anga as well. So what makes such a difference? That a person who is born from the Yajna Phala can behave so bad. So just like I told you, there are both qualities in a person, good and bad. The factor that influences good qualities or bad qualities is the association. Padma Purana explains, when Vena came in contact with some atheistic sadhus who were non-believers of Vedas and Brahmanas and Vedic culture, and when he constantly heard from them that only compassion to humanity is the real thing and that there is no God, the constant association of the atheistic people gradually turned
Veena into an atheist, a non-believer of God, a non-believer of Brahminical and Vedic culture. Initially, he had those traits of being cruel, because as Bhagavatam explained that he used to torture other kids. But what intensified it was this association. So his good qualities eventually got covered, and the negative qualities were fed so strongly that he became such a cruel ruler that he used to torture and kill people. So this will become this will be more clear when we read the last when we read the chapter when Veena's body is churned. The first thing that comes out is Bahalika, which is the impure part of his personality, and then comes out Prithu Maharaj, which is the pure part of his personality. So Veena had both good and bad, evil and good, both were existing, but good got covered due to the bad association. So association helps fructify those qualities. Daivi Asura Gun, both are there, but the quality of association will bring out. So the point is that devotion to Sri Hari will never go in vain. Just like somebody may say, he has come from a yajna. How come? But the point is, when Prithu Maharaj came out, why did Prithu Maharaj, who is considered as the Satyavesh avatar of Lord Vishnu, come? Because there was a good quality, there was the factor of devotion in Veena also. So devotional service to Lord Hari never goes in vain. Any pure activity never goes in vain. It will be covered for some time, but later, at due course of time, it will come, it will surface again. That is what we see in this part. When Prithu Maharaj takes birth from the pure side, the pure content which was there in Veena. So, we see in chapter, in this chapter, in the shloka number 2, that when time came, when Maharaj Anga left the kingdom and there was no king in shloka number 2, then the sages, they called all the ministers, the top citizens, and Mother Suniti, that should king, that Veena be made the king. Now you will be surprised, Shukdev Goswami says, Asammatam, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
Can you hear Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu.
So the word Asammata, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur say, makes it clear that even his mother was not ready to make Veena the king. Now why is it so? His mother was the only person who knew that she was cursed, and the curse was fructifying, which she could easily make out by the behavior of Veena. So Shloka 3 describes that Veena was so horrible, the effect of curse was showing up so badly, that when the rogues and thieves of the kingdom were troubling the citizens so badly, when they heard that Veena is the next king, immediately from the next moment, the whole kingdom was bereft of thieves and rogues. Only one thief was left, that was Veena. Everybody gone, nobody is there. Because he is such a cruel person, if he finds out any person doing any mistake against his will, he is dead. And that is how Veena, who is now enthroned, even when Mother Suniti was not ready to enthrone, the sages take a call, taking into consideration that there is no king. A bad king is better than no king. A bad ruler is better than no ruler. We are not saying that ruler has the ruler should have certain qualities. That is true. But if time comes, if there is an emergency, a ruler is must, because the people have some fear that somebody is there, some authority is there, and that authority keeps the people in line of the social norms. Now Shloka 4 describes that when Veena came into power, he became so proud. Why he became so proud? Because this is the first symptom of his association, the atheistic association, and this is the atheistic culture, first symptom of atheistic culture. What? No God means no controller. No controller means I am the controller of my own life. No God means what? Nobody is there to watch what I do. I will do as I like.
I will behave as I want. The factor of responsibility is immediately withdrawn from the behavior of any individual. He feels that I am not answerable to anyone. Thus, what is the result? This society becomes insensitive, desensitized to the feelings of each other. And that is how this, what we call in modern terms, the use and throw culture begins. And the first starting is that when the ruling or authoritative person is removed from the picture, people feel that I am the authority and I am not responsible. I will not be held responsible for my action. Now, the second point here is, which we have to cover is, that how did Narad Muni glorify the Lord? When in the 13th chapter, when this question is asked, that Narad, Shukdev Goswami says that, please, Maharaj Parikshit says, please glorify the Lord. We are eager to hear about the Lord. And in this Maitreya Vidur Savad comes, and then Maitreya Rishi speaks about the pastimes of Anga and Vena. But somebody may say, we are told that you will be speaking about the glories of the Lord, and how come such a demonic person you are glorifying here in this pastime? So the point here to be noted is, content has some intent also. Content has some intent also. Just like the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Amal Puran, the content in Srimad Bhagavatam has some intent. What is that intent? To highlight from every event of the Srimad Bhagavatam the loving emotional exchanges between the Lord and His devotees. That is the only purpose of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is what we call as the Paribhasha Sutra. What content Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting, what is the intent of that content? To highlight the emotional exchanges, the loving exchanges between the Lord and His devotees. Now somebody may ask, how come the Lord is allowing His devotees to go through such a harsh event that Maharaj Anga left kingdom without even telling his wife? The previous shloka says that she was in complete deep sleep. Deep sleep means what? A person is not bothered about what is happening. But Maharaj Anga could not sleep, but his wife was sleeping peacefully. Deep sleep. Shukdev Goswami uses this word there. Prabhupada translates it like this. But Maharaj Anga could not sleep. He is feeling that I desired a son like Indra, but what I got is exactly opposite. And at the in the dead night, he leaves his room. So Lord, what was there in Lord Vishnu's mind in allowing Maharaj Anga to go through this event? And Maharaj Anga, as we saw in the beginning of the story from Padma Purana, two benedictions Maharaj Anga asked. He desired a son like Indra. And on the other side, he is saying, please free me from this material bondage. These two benedictions are exactly opposite. And Lord is amazed that how come a descendant of Dhruva, who is my pure devotee, is asking for some petty material enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport in the incidents of Atri Rishi and Mata Anusuya, Prabhupada makes this statement that a devotee should not even desire to have a son like the Supreme Lord, because Atri Rishi and Mata Anusuya desired a son, that they have a son like, not the Lord, like the Lord. And that is why they got Lord Dattatreya, who is the partial incarnation of the Lord. They didn't get the Lord as their son, they got a partial incarnation of the Lord. So Prabhupada is highlighting that the devotee should not even ask benediction that we want the Supreme Lord as the son. No, our first business is to return back home, back to Godhead. So the point, the whole point in this event is why the Lord allowed Maharaj Anga to go through all this event is so that eventually he could get completely detached from his desire, which was so strong and so burning that he desired a son like Indra. So the foundation of fulfilling this desire, Lord Vishnu kept his first desire to free him from this material world, and on top of that he built a building of giving him a son who was powerful like Indra, but who could eventually lead him to what? To freedom from material bondage. So the whole
event was covered by Lord Vishnu so that he could make sure that Maharaj Anga gets the real feel of the material world. Because Prabhupada always used to say, even if you have a small desire, you will have to come back. Even if it is eating prasadam, you have to come back. And that is why, to completely eradicate all the material desires, he had to go through such a turmoil. So, the last point that I am trying to highlight here in this whole event is that it is not just about becoming a parent. Please understand, what is the intent of parenthood? The intent of parenthood is not just becoming a parent and going through the emotions of having a kid and growing a kid and then having a life with him and then at the end of the life you are dependent on him. No. Just like, somebody asked a very wonderful question. Who is more important? Is a kavi more important or the kavita of the kavi is more important? Is the poet more important or is the poem of the poet more important? Kavi means poet and kavita means poem. So who is more important? Is the kavi more important or is the kavita more important? Just like in India, we have this song, "E mere vatan ke loko, zara aankh mein bhar lo pani." It is a patriotic song. Now the person who wrote this song, when he wrote the lyrics and gave to one of the famous singers here, Lata Mangeshkar. She sang this song. So when the song was given for her to be sung, and the whole music crew was there, the whole music troupe was there, and Lata Mangeshkar is singing the song, and the whole troupe was sitting outside, when she sung the whole song of "A Mere Vatan Ki Logo," this is a patriotic song, the entire crew was crying. Why? Because that poem had such deep emotion, such deep meaning, such proper words to churn the patriotic spirit of every individual was churned by that song. And the best part of the whole event was the poet who wrote the song was not there. Till date, every 15th August or 26th January in India, this song is sung. But till date, nobody knows who is the poet of this song. But everybody sings this song with the same zeal, with the same zest. Why? Because the words, there is deep meaning, there is deep emotional churning that is happening through the words of the poet. Poet has already left, but his kavita, his poem is still existing. So the poet may leave, but the kavita keeps on existing for a long time. Just like a teacher, the teacher dies, but he lives in this world or in the minds of the people through his students. Through the qualities that he has inculcated or developed in the students. And that student adds value to the entire society. Similarly, these two examples why I gave. Parents will leave the world in due course of time. But the parents will be remembered in the world through the progeny they have given to the society. The contribution of grahastha is the quality of the progeny, maybe a son or maybe a daughter, and how they contribute to the society. Are they contributing towards a healthy society or are they contributing for disturbance in the society? That is the contribution. Parents will leave this world, but their progeny will keep their mark in this world. The whole society will remember the parents because of their kids. That is the contribution of the parents to this world. And that is why being parent is not just about parenthood, is not just about being a parent, but it is about creating legacy for this world. Legacy of qualities, legacy of a wonderful example that the world can follow. This is the legacy that parents are supposed to create through their progeny. And that is why, even if time comes
just like we saw in the case of Sunita, she wasn't corrected first time, so she kept on making mistakes, and the mistake landed up being so bad that eventually she was cursed. How she was cursed? She was cursed so badly that what contribution she was going to make in the society was so worst, so bad, that it affected the entire society. And that is what a devotee community needs, pure progeny. And that contribution comes through the purity of the grihasthas. And that is the intense need to Srila Prabhupada's society today. Most of the devotees who are joining ISKCON have joined ISKCON when they have already crossed their teenage. But we want leaders who have taken birth from devotee parents. Why? Because they have all the necessary qualities to move the mission of Lord Chaitanya ahead. The purity is required, the integrity is required, the loyalty is required, the attraction for the Shravan and Kirtan of the Supreme Lord that is required, that will come through purity, that will come through sadhana. Otherwise, what will happen is, if the leaders are not proper, then eventually they will have to be cursed. Just like here we see, why Vena was cursed? Actually, curse is not something that is to be seen in a negative sense. No. Curse, what is curse? Curse is nothing but a way in which a person can be made sober. A person, just like Vena, he had to be made sober. Just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have this wonderful example of Gopal Chapal, Gopal Chakravarti. Now, Gopal Chapal was so proud of his Brahminical birth that he dared to offend Srivast Thakur. Srivast Thakur forgave him what Lord Chaitanya did not forgive. He got such severe leprosy that he was told that, please, you move outside the village. You used to stay alone in the forest. And Lord Chaitanya used to see him so many times. He fell every time at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and said, please forgive me. I beg forgiveness from you and your devotees. But why it took him so long for Lord Chaitanya to forgive him? Because initially, the forgiveness that he was asking was superficial. For that intense and the real forgiveness to be begged, he had to go through the suffering. He had to go through the whole event of suffering just to come to the sobriety that, yes, it hurts somebody when I speak harsh words. It hurts somebody when I abuse somebody physically. How will I understand that if I beat somebody, just like Sunita beat that Gandharva, how did she realize, how will she realize, or how will I realize when I make a mistake? Nature has a very simple method. They will allow you to go through the same experience. The powerful and the most wonderful example that I find myself is from Srimad Ramayana. We see the life of Dasharatha Maharaj. When Dasharatha Maharaj was full of power, he was the prince, the charming prince, the prince who knew the Shabda Bhedi Vidya. He was so proud that that night he stayed in the forest and he thought that, let me use initial two sounds that he heard. He hit the target and those were the animals. He said, if two are right, third must be right. He didn't consider and he shot the third arrow thinking it was an elephant who has come to drink water. But it was not elephant. It was Shravan Kumar. And when Shravan Kumar died, he said, please pass on the message to my parents who are blind and thirsty for water. He goes there and he tells the reality. Now he's the prince. When his parents, Shravan Kumar's parents, come to understand that he is the next king, they said, we want to curse you so badly, but we can't curse you because you are the next king. And the second thing you did good was that you came and told the reality. So we will not curse you, Dasharatha. What we will do is, we want that the pain that we are going through right now in separation from our own son, you will experience the same in due course of time.
And this event, when Dasharatha Maharaj tells to his wife, he tells it when he is on his deathbed, and when he completes this conveying this, that this is what has happened, and this is the reason of the curse, and this is what has happened because of that. And when he speaks this out, the next day he leaves his body. So curse is meant to sober somebody. Punishment is meant to sober somebody. That pride of power and money, how will it be sobered? He has to go through that series of same events, and then he comes to the realization that yes, this is not worth doing it. Just like yesterday, wonderful example was covered, Nalkuer Mani Grief. They became sober when they were cursed. So as devotees, we are not here to collect curses, but we are here to collect blessings. The blessings of devotees, which will make this Krishna consciousness, which is already wonderful, susukham kartum avyayat, even more susukham. That the pains that come along the way will not be able to perceive it. That kind of happiness will be able to have only when we have the blessings and not the curses of devotees. Thank you all so much for your kind and patient hearing. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Rashtra Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble excellences. Such a beautiful, comprehensive class. Thanks for touching upon their previous births, and that kind of makes the story complete.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for all the research work that you have done. So, Prabhuji, I had a couple of questions. The first question was regarding this particular verse that you spoke. 4.14.2, when you were commenting on Asamatam, you said that they had the permission of
Asamatam.
You were telling that Sita knew that her son was, she was cursed to have a bad son, so she also approved of this fact being in the assembly. But however, the translation itself says that the great sages called for the mother Sunita, and with her permission they installed Vena in spite of the ministers disagreeing with it, right? Like, how did...
Yes, Mataji. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes this point very clear. He says that Asammatam, three people were not agreeing to the proposal. First were the ministers, second were the citizens, and third was mother Sunita. So, Asammatam is clarified with these three people in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Is that okay?
I don't know, maybe I have a different version. I'm just looking up and it says there are two other versions of the text with Prakriti Asammatam. Only that part I see. Anyway, maybe I just don't have the whole thing. But anyway,
is there in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary?
Okay, bro.
Yeah, it's there. And yesterday, Prabhuji also covered this point, Asamata. And that same thing is taken from Sridhar Swami's commentary, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is taken from Sridhar Swami's commentary.
Yes, I see that part, but I didn't understand the point that Sunita had disagreed.
This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. The three people, and the third was Mother Sunita. Why? Because she was aware that if this person comes and becomes the king, then the whole kingdom will become unstable. And that is why disagreement part came in picture.
Okay, Prabhuji, thank you so much for clarifying that. And one more question I had, I don't know if it's a stupid question, but I just wanted clarification on this. The point I wanted to ask is, when we were talking about the birth of Sunita, coming from Rityu and Bhiti, maybe, I'm not sure.
Yes,
but
correct.
You were talking about the point that they were siblings. They were siblings, and hence Sukshukadev Goswami calls it unnatural. But my question is when you see the progeny of Brahma, because Brahma is the only person who was created, getting progeny at that time, you see, obviously the siblings were only getting married, right? At that time, now it is unnatural. But for that time, it was the most natural thing, right? at the time of creation, only siblings can get married because there's no one else. Is that correct? Mm. Or because the rest of the Brahma's creation, we see a lot of sibling marriage. So only why is this particularly picked as unnatural? Was my
question. This will be clarified in...
This will be clarified in...
Mataji, voice is breaking. I don't Mataji, know if, is it okay? Yeah. This will be clarified, Mataji, in the secondary creation that Lord Brahma does. So, it is not that only Brahmaji is creating. Brahmaji has rishis also who are there to help him in his creation.
Mm, yes.
So, that set of rishis are always there to help Brahmaji. But initially, just in last session, I also told that they were procreating only through their strength. They were not accepting any partners as such, because Chatush Kumar declined exclusively because there is a lot of entanglement in family life, and that is how, Lord Brahma, this is clarified in Srimad Bhagavatam also, that Lord Vishnu, he brings out the first pair from the body of Brahma, that is Svayambhuva Manu and his wife. And before Lord Brahma's eyes, they have a relation, and that is how Brahma understands that the procreation will happen through this way. And then the other sages, they are also told that you also get married, because some of the sages have a lot of daughters, and other sages have sons. So in this how, in this way, the progeny is created further. So it is not said as such that initial marriages were exclusively between brothers and sisters or siblings. No, this exclusive thing is considered a dharmic because this was the first set that came up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Actually, my question was exactly identical to that one. So just to see if I don't know if I got the answer correct, but the reason why we wouldn't call the initial, progeny or pairings of Lord Brahma's children, we wouldn't call that like incestuous, is because those initial progeny of Lord Brahma, they were able to produce progeny without partners, and then only, is it that only after, let's say, that first round of children who were able to produce progeny on their own, After that, if siblings were paired, then that would be unnatural. I know I didn't say it so clearly, but...
Yeah. Can you repeat the question so that we can understand?
Yeah, so... As Manji was saying, you know, it seems like the initial partnerships would have been unnatural, but I don't know if I understood you to say that they weren't unnatural because they were able to produce progeny without the help of accepting a partner.
Correct, yeah.
But then afterwards, the future generations, they did need... So in other words, if you need the help of a partner, right, then progeny that's produced of such relationships, those would be considered unnatural. So it's not unnatural if you don't need help of partner to produce the progeny. And then those, something like that.
Yeah, the point is, Mataji, what you have said, let me try to repeat it. You are saying that the progeny which is born without the help of a partner is unnatural.
No, well, no, that's natural. That's
natural.
Because
okay.
Yeah, that's natural because, you know, but if two people, they need each other, they need to accept the partner to produce a progeny, right? And then any union between that kind, those, that progeny becomes unnatural.
Okay, when now I've got a bit, so let me clarify. The progeny, there is something called as Sapta Rishis. There is something called as Gotra. Gotra means the, to which Rishi your lineage goes back. So when marriages are performed, they check out whether they are belonging to the same Gotra. So if they are belonging to the same lineage of the Rishi, Saptarishi, any of the seven Rishis, then that natural, that marriage is also having some defect because it is not a very natural, because they are belonging to the same lineage.
Yes, yes.
And that is how we, in even modern science, agrees with the point that there should not be any relation or marriage between close relatives, because then it is directly seen in their genetic patterns. The child may have some deformities that come up, and that this is the same reason why the unnatural progeny comes up in the picture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that,
yeah,
that so is based to back to the Saptarishis.
Okay. All right. Very nice. Very nice clarification. And then one other question I had was about Sunita. Because I do know someone who was, you know, upon initiation, she was given this name Sunita. But in this lecture today, you know, she's characterized, you know, in like a negative way. So I'm just wondering why an Iskcon devotee would have been given this name.
Actually,
Sunita.
The real meaning of Sunita means one who has a very good niti, means her mindset is very clear and pure. That is the real meaning of Sunita. That is why maybe she must have got that name, Sunita.
Yeah, but my goodness, and also Sunita, and then is it the same meaning, or is it a slightly different meaning, the name Suniti and the Jiva?
Yes, Mother, that's almost the same, Sunita and Suniti. That they have almost the same meaning.
And again, you said it is, Su means like very, like emphasis, right? Emphatic.
Good, yeah, that is good.
Very good. And Niti means mind?
Mindset.
No. What is
pure
it?
Pure mindset.
Mindset.
Su means good or pure, and Niti means her, is her mindset.
Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Alex.
Yeah, very nice class. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Is that okay, Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji, Dandutra.
I also have a question.
Mataji, just a request, a bit short of time, so is it possible we take next time?
Oh, okay. I can ask offline if you have.
Yes, Mataji, yes. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the beautiful class. Let us all offer a bit of to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vansha Kalpa Tarupi Asya Kipa 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 Evaja Kita Nama Pala Kipa Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindhi Ki Shai Nama Shai Nama Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Sukumar Prabhuji Ki Jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji.